Welcome to Sister Speak True Blood, where we discuss season 4 of the HBO series True Blood from a sister's point of view. I'm Sister J.
And I'm Sister K. And welcome to episode 33. Let's get started.
Okay.
Why are you grinning like that?
Because you said I said. Sounded irritated last time, so hey. Anyway, okay.
Welcome to episode 33, if you didn't hear me. Which is the True Blood episode number 6, well, for season 4, number 6, called I Wish I Was the Moon.
Okay.
Who do you want to start talking about first?
Because
there was a lot going on in this episode.
Well, why don't we get to Eric and Suki on the couch, making out on the couch. Because, you know, when we when we last stopped, Bill had rushed over there in vampire speed because Pam had told him Eric's at Suki's house. So I like this scene, too, because when Bill rushes in, Eric and Suki is on the couch. I mean, she got all her clothes off except her underwear.
Yep.
And so they are clearly on the couch, and Bill busts in, and he's looking at them, and his little teeth is out, and he's and then Eric jumps up, of course, and he's baring his teeth because he don't know who the hell Bill is.
Right.
And so Bill goes over there to call himself, going to manhandle him.
Eric, I like that part.
Oh, I love it.
Eric
took his hand and he grabbed him by the neck, lifted him up off the floor by his neck, and threw Bill over to the wall.
Yep.
Oh, and you know what? It didn't even take a whole bunch of effort.
No, because Eric is strong, and he's older, a lot older than Bill.
I was cracking up. I thought, yeah, beat his ass. And then Eric got a poker and was going to poke him, but Suki stopped him.
Which is good.
Yeah.
And this is the good part, because as soon as she said, he said, who is this vampire to you? And she said, it's your king. He immediately was like, oh, my liege.
I know. He immediately bowed down.
And you see Bill's face like, what? Eric wouldn't even say that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if he had just messed up.
Mm-hmm.
So Bill looked at him like, okay, mm-hmm. He's something wrong with him.
So that was really good. And Bill's kind of looking like, you know, but even then, because if you notice, when Bill had his security team escort Eric back over to the mansion, because he's going to put him in a cell, and
yeah.
Suki followed them, and she's just a fussing with Bill. Bill really honestly thought, I think, that Eric was faking just so he could get next to Suki. And that's what I think Suki was trying to say. And of course, he was saying to Suki, well, you know, he's dangerous. I mean, he's under the influence of necromancy. So therefore, you know, he's dangerous to everybody, to all of us, you know. And I thought to myself, nah, that's that old jealous crap.
That was, yeah, I think
yeah,
it was
that's
too.
That jealousy crap. And Suki wasn't buying it. She knew it, too.
I like what she said. You sticking your fangs and who knows what else into every girl in this town, but you going to jump back with me?
Well, she said, but as soon as I move on, then
you got a problem.
Yeah, you got mm-hmm. a problem. And he says, he says something to the effect
he
like,
said, well, believe it or not,
unbeknownst to you, yeah, believe it or not,
everything does not revolve around you.
Who is between your legs? That's what he said to her.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself,
no, that motherfucker didn't.
No, he ain't getting nasty with her.
Yes, he did.
Oh, and she said, hey. You'll be talking dirty to me. Yeah, Suki did speak up, though, so I was glad of that, you know. I was glad. And she kept telling me, don't hurt him. And you know what? I just knew when she was kind of almost tearing up saying, if you ever love me, you will not hurt him.
Yeah.
And Bill's looking at her like, oh, and that really made him mad, too. Did you notice? He even got madder.
Yeah, see? That's when he was like, bye.
He said, you know what? He said, this is vampire business, and I suggest you stay out of it. Then he told his security people, next time she come on my property,
have her arrested. That was cold.
Oh, that was cold. She knew then. Okay. And see, I'm kind of glad he did it, because you know what?
She needs to quit
pining for his dumb ass
I don't think she's pining for him anymore.
I don't think so either. Not anymore.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think she's just like, well, shit, this fool done went all crazy.
Well, you know, coupled with all the shit he did last season to her, yeah.
Yeah.
This should cut it for good.
Yeah.
It seems to me, anyway. I mean, yeah, Sookie, don't be no fool, you know. So anyway, so.
Well, and then, so Eric gets down into the dungeon jail, whatever you call it.
They put him in the same cell with Pam.
And you know what? I can't barely look at Pam anymore.
I know. She's awful nasty. Poor Pam. Nasty. Oh, she looks real nasty. And plus, I think that stuff is making her...
It's worse. It's getting worse.
Yeah. But I think that rotting is also rotting her little thought processes and stuff, too. Because she's awful volatile. She is. Because she was all up in Eric's face.
Yeah. She's trying to say, look.
Yeah.
You were a proud Viking vampire.
Who never gave a shit about what Bill Compton thought. Yeah. You know. So... but I don't know. She just, I think it's affecting her little thought processes too. I really do.
She just looks gross.
She really looks nasty.
So they need to find a solution to this. Yeah, too sweet.
Yeah, because I don't want Pam to go now.
No.
They can't get rid of Pam.
But I liked it when she was breaking it down. You don't even like Bill Compton.
Yeah. And you know? This is why, you know. Yeah, I like it when they do that, because he don't know nothing.
He don't know nothing.
And she was saying, don't worry, you know, we're going to get your life back and everything. And he said, I don't want it.
I know.
He said, I don't want to be like that anymore. So, you know.
Which makes him sound more like Godric.
Yeah, doesn't it? But you know what? Even when all this is resolved, because we know it will be, it is my hope that Eric remembers all this stuff. And therefore, he's maybe a cross between the two.
Yeah.
You know.
Because, how can he not?
Because he needs to get some folk. Once he gets back to his mind, he needs to get some folk.
But not our Lala or
Oh, Claire. No. Not Lafayette. But he needs to get some folk, though. Yeah. But anyway.
So anyway, but I was thinking, you know, with her trying to break it down to Eric, do you think that had any... that is why he was... speaking to what he was speaking to at the last scene we saw them in, which was outside when Bill is...
getting ready to stake him.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because I was thinking, well, I bet you because Pam probably schooled him...
Oh, yeah.
...on what to say to kind of pull at him about Sookie...
Absolutely.
...and his feelings for her and her feelings.
I think
blah,
so.
Blah, blah.
I think so. Well, because, okay, he was aware... I mean, Eric, even though Eric is nice and kind and stuff, but he's still Eric deep down in there, you know? And he was keenly aware of Sookie and Bill arguing. And I think he really did peep out the fact that Sookie still had feelings for Bill, but vice versa.
Well, he said that, too.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I agree with you, though, because I was thinking about that, too. I bet you, because, see, he was there all day. And then at nighttime... again, is when Bill took him outside and was going to stake him and shit. So, you know, they had all day to be in that cell together. And, yeah.
So I was wondering, you know, he keeps bringing up, I mean, but he didn't have any, like, trickery in his eyes or nothing like that.
He didn't.
But he just was like, you know, I just want you, I hope, you know, she still has feelings for you and... you could tell this, and, you know, even if once I meet the true death, I want you guys to be together. And when Bill was like, and I said the same thing, why would you want that? It kind of tugged at Bill.
But he had the perfect answer.
Because she deserves some kind of happiness.
And see, if you really, really love a person, and you know that you can't be the one with them, you still want them to be happy. And see, Bill ain't been that way yet. See? All he was all about is, no, she mine. I'm killing everybody that knew her.
But you if she had a bad breakup like they had, no, you ain't wanting him to be happy. Although, Bill should not have any ill feelings towards Sookie. It should be the other way around.
No.
Because he's the one that did all that.
He did all the stuff. And how can he have ill feelings? Well, he just has ill feelings against Eric because it's jealousy.
Right.
But Eric told the truth.
Yeah.
And he stood there and said to Sookie last season, I thought you deserved to know the truth. See?
Yep.
And Eric has told Sookie, even when Bill was sitting there, I knew you weren't dead. Everybody else thought you was, but I knew you wasn't.
Everybody gave up on you, but
everybody did, but me. You know, so everybody else moved on, but him. He said, okay, well, you know, okay, I know. let me buy her house, let me fix it up and everything. That way I can go in there anytime I want, which I thought was pretty good. You know, so you know, slowly I think Sookie has come to realize, too, that, he's not as bad as you know, he was anyway. But, so, you know.
But Bill, I mean, so we skipped the scene where he calls Nan Flanagan.
Yeah.
And is saying he's been corrupted, he's infected.
Well, first of all, though, we didn't talk about the fact that, When they first got into the mansion and he and Sookie was still arguing, then he told the security team to silver him, like put them handcuffs on him. And Sookie said, "Why are you doing that? He's not resisting." And I thought to myself, yeah, see, they trying to say something with that, because, you know, that's the way a lot of police officers do, too.
Oh, Lord, Sister Jane.
Oh, yeah, they trying to say something.
Anyhow, when Bill calls Nan Flanagan, she's like, "Well, I'm in the middle of something." I kept thinking about...
She was chomping that girl.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about.
Yeah, she was chomping that girl.
Underneath the camera view, you saw her doing something like pushing somebody away.
Yeah, yeah.
And I kept thinking, oh, Lord.
She was chomping that girl.
She's chomping somebody, because somebody chomping her.
No, she's chomping somebody because, you know, last season, she says, "Well, I was just eating." True Blood, of course. Only True Blood, of course.
Right.
And she was chomping that girl
in the limo
mm-hmm. when King Russell was pulling out that dude's spine and stuff. You know, saying, "I eat your children."
Yep.
I miss King Russell.
I want
King Russell back. But anyway. But
But when he was talking about, well, he's been infected. He's under the influence of a necromancer, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. I recommend the true death. I was thinking, what the hell, Bill?
Well, she said, "Well, what do you recommend?" He says, "Well, the witches could..." He said, he told her the witches could easily use him against us. And because Eric is so formidable, they wouldn't have no protection. Nobody else around there is 1,000 years old.
True.
Nan ain't.
True.
You know, so... He wanted a warrant for the true death. I thought, you dog.
And she said, too. She's like, "Oh, I bet you broken up about that,
Yeah, because she know.
She know.
She know. Oh, man. I could have just spit in Bill's eye when he said that. I wanted to slap the TV.
And then,
ooh,
you know, at the end, they show him, and they're playing that old puppy dog
song. Stupid.
And that part of the show, I was like, okay, this is dumb.
It was really, it was not necessary.
Yeah, and one other scene.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, they're playing they're cue the music.
Mm-hmm.
He's staring off into space, looking at from the porch, thinking of what could be and what Sookie and Eric are probably doing.
Oh, he know they're screwing by now.
I was like, oh, Lord, come on.
And, you know, we'll get on Sookie, because I got some, anyway.
Okay.
But at least Bill did spare Eric, though.
Yeah.
And Eric said, the king set me free. So that means it's just like, you know, now, well, he ain't going to be grabbed again for the same thing.
No.
You know, so he's free, which is good, which is a good thing.
Now, what Bill probably needs to do is just keep him under wraps for a while.
He'll probably keep an eye on him, though. He's probably going to be under surveillance, you know, but yeah. Okay.
Who you want to talk about next?
Let's talk about Miss Sookie. Now, other than, you know, her following Bill, Eric, to Bill's house and arguing with Bill and everything until Bill put her out.
Right.
Then when Bill put her out, what she did is she went to Merlot's. I guess we need to talk about Tommy first then.
Yeah, let's talk about Tommy first.
Yeah, let's talk about some Tommy.
And Arlene and all them. Sam, Tommy, whoever.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, when we start this episode with Arlene and Terry, their house is burnt down.
Burning up, and little baby Mikey ain't nowhere to
Mikey
be found.
Mikey is outside already, some little black angel
and
girl.
With the doll.
With that nasty-ass doll.
And some woman spirit, something.
Some black girl spirit.
Is waving at Mikey
now,
from across the way.
This is what
that baby was so
Oh, little
cute.
Mikey
You know
so
they had
cute.
His mama on the other side of that
Oh, yeah, yeah,
camera.
Yeah. Making him laugh and stuff. Okay, but this is what got me. Well, that whole scene and everything was really, really, you know, good, I thought. And with baby Mikey, okay, you learn from the older children that when they got out of the house, Mikey was already across the street with that baby doll.
Right.
He was already outside, and he was across the street with that baby doll. We know because we see this little black woman spirit who's smiling at the baby. Now, this is my question. Don't she look like the woman that was in Lafayette's little vision quest when they was doing the V? That's who she looked like to me. That's the same little spirit.
I don't remember a spirit woman.
Winnie, Grandma Winnie or whatever her name was. Oh. Yeah, that's her.
Yeah, that's her. A good point.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that's the first thing that hit me. I thought, dang, that's that same woman that Lafayette saw.
I don't remember that, but I need to go
back
and look
at it. Yeah, that's the same woman Lafayette saw when they was going through that V trip. Him and Jesus.
Yeah.
First time they was together. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Anyway, and so that was really cute, though. But the next morning, the scene I like the best is when Sam drove up. And, you know, he's, of course, worried about everybody, and he's worried about his house and everything. And Terry is standing there with baby Armadillo Felix.
Yes!
Oh, it was so cute.
It was cute.
Oh, he had that little armadillo. So that lets you know that he went under that bed and got the little baby Felix.
He got Felix.
Because he had said he had little baby armadillo named Felix under the bed. Remember?
Yeah.
Oh, so he's standing there holding Felix. I thought that was too cute. That was
that
so
was
funny.
Really funny.
That was funny. And I like seeing that. So
he was holding them strings.
Well, but I mean, you know,
but still
armadillos curl up.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway.
So Sam of course has to call Tommy and say, look, I got some stuff going on. The house burned up.
Some apartments done burnt and everything.
I got stuff to do, so can you go and open up more lots for me? And Tommy's all depressed and sad and he's like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I'll do whatever you need.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. Hangs up and then is kind of looking at himself in the mirror, sniveling and crying and carrying on.
And he starts hitting himself.
Although I kind of, when I watched it the second time, it kind of looked like he's kind of self-hating himself.
Yes.
But at the same time, it seemed like he was maybe also in pain.
Yeah.
As he was turning.
That's what I thought.
And he turns, looks up, and he has turned into Sam.
He done skinwalkered.
Well, whatever you call it.
He done shapeshifted. So now we know that Tommy is a skinwalker. But he don't know what that is yet, though.
No, he don't.
But Tommy done turned into Sam Merlot.
He sure did.
Oh, shit, I hate that. Damn. I hate that he's the one who's the skinwalker. I wanted Sam to be the skinwalker.
No, this is more interesting.
Well, yeah, well.
And
it was predictable.
Sam Trammell was so good in this.
Oh, he was excellent. He needs an award.
The whole thing, because from the scream to how he walked.
He even walked
to how
different.
He was talking.
I know
was
it.
Just like Tommy.
Tommy. Just like Tommy.
And it was so weird.
But especially the walk.
I know. All
gangly it was
and
so
stuff.
Good. It was so good. But when so Sookie rushes to Merlot's. Because she's going to tell him, look, I got stuff to do today. I'm not going to be able to work today. And Tommy
and
Sam.
He's like.
Oh, that was excellent, though.
She's like, well, I got something that's come up, some emergency. He's like, again?
Yeah.
Another one?
Another one? You always got one.
You got something.
Uh-huh. So he's like, fires her.
You know what? You don't know. You always got something going on. You don't even worry about it. You fired.
And she said, what? And he says, yeah, you think you can just shake that little blonde ponytail and get your things your way? No. You fired. Get your stuff and get out. And you fired. I said, oh, Lord, have mercy.
I know.
I mean, I'm not sorry that he fired her, but I'm thinking, okay, Tommy,
you know,
come on.
A little power trip.
I had thought that Tommy was going to be a little bit redeemed.
No. Tommy is a child. He's childish.
Yeah, but
he's not used to.
Yeah.
I mean, Sam is respectable.
Yes.
He's a boss. And people listen to what he says. Tommy has never been able to stand up for anything in
his
life.
That is true.
So he's like, huh, I'm going to try this out and say what I really want to say.
Oh,
because
God.
I have some power now because I control these people's livelihoods, that's motive, exactly whatever. Mm-hmm. And then so when he comes out and he's all swaggering and stuff, comes out, say, hey, ladies, how you doing? And then she's Maxine sitting there. You know, I think he called himself generally kind of a little bit happy to see her.
I think it hurt his feelings.
Oh, she hurt his feelings.
I think it hurt his feelings.
It did.
And Maxine was mean, though. She didn't have to be that mean.
She was upset.
She was upset.
She was upset.
Yo, no good brother done left me. I thought to myself, well, dang, he wasn't your son.
Nope. But she's and she's mad. Talking about,
I tried to teach that fool how to read. You know, he dumber than a bucket of spit.
That's the part that hurt his feelings.
Now, that's about as bad as when Tara said, he dumb as a box of hair. Remember last year? Woo!
I think that's what hurt his feelings. Not the part about, I'm upset and all this stuff.
I felt bad for him because he was just standing there like,
Like, what
what do I do, you know? Oh, that was bad. That was bad. So, see, I think he was already feeling hurt and stuff. And then, of course, predictable. I mean, I just knew as soon as he went into Merlot's and was opening up the place and, like, had encountered Maxine, I knew the next thing happening was Luna was going to come. That was just so predictable. It was so predictable. I thought, oh, y'all, come on. Give me a break.
Yeah, but it was okay.
Yeah, oh, please.
Yeah, it's all right.
Anyway.
So Luna comes and she is seducing him, and he's like, oh, hey, whoa, okay.
But yeah.
And they get it on. But what the funny part was, when it was over, he's like, well, I think it's time for you to go.
Well, but he did that because he was changing.
Getting sick. Yeah.
He was getting ready to get sick.
He felt bad. Yeah.
And so she's talking about, oh, what do you mean?
Now, what I want to know is how did she not recognize
the
symptoms? I mean, maybe it's because, okay, now we can say this. She probably doesn't have those issues now because she's been doing it since she was little.
Yeah.
Because her mama died at birth.
So that's
she's
true.
Been a skinwalker since birth.
That's true.
So maybe she doesn't recognize the signs of it.
Maybe. I don't know. But anyway, he told her, get your shit. Said, you got what you came for. Get your stuff and go.
That's going to jack some shit up for Sam.
He calling her a hoe. That's what it said to me.
He just want her out of there so he can
We know that, though. But, even though he did all that, which is very, very bad, I felt really bad for him, though. Because did you see how his skin and everything was, moving and stuff, when he was throwing up in the sink? Yeah. And then, at the end when Sam found him and he was in a pool of vomit and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I felt bad for him, though.
That's awesome.
Because he don't know what's happening to him.
No, he don't.
Of course, Sam doesn't know either, so.
Yeah. Well, Sam probably will figure it out
before Tommy does. Yeah, probably will.
Tommy don't have anybody to go talk to about it. He done killed his family, who the only people he knew that were shapeshifters.
That's true. That's so true. Yep.
He don't have to talk
to anyway,
him.
So after Sookie gets fired,
she goes to Jason's house, try to find Jason.
To talk to him.
Because she's been calling. He ain't been to work. She could hear him when she goes into the house, even though he doesn't say nothing. She could hear him saying, well, shit, what is she doing here?
She need to go, because I don't want to hurt her. So he done handcuffed himself to the bed.
Thank you.
And she talking about, that cracked me up. She went in the room talking about, don't tell me it's a sex thing. Because he's handcuffed to the bed. And then when he was trying to tell her, and he was serious, bless his heart, and she was saying, where, what? And he was trying to tell her, and she said, well, now, don't you think that if you do turn into a panther, them handcuffs just going to slip off?
Yeah.
And he went, damn, I didn't think of that. Oh, you got to leave right quick. And then she realized, you ain't kidding.
Serious.
Yeah. Poor Jason.
That was cute.
Jason's so dumb, though. But poor thing.
Shit, I didn't think about that.
Poor thing. I know. Jason's so dumb. He's cute, though.
He is.
So, Sookie is trying to soothe him and everything,
and he tells her, I think, part of what happened to him.
He tells her part.
And
he doesn't tell her about all the raping, though.
No.
Mm-mm.
And how he's supposed to change the full moon. And, he, of course, neither of them know how it's supposed to work.
Right.
But he wants her to shoot him as soon as it happens. She's like, I'm not shooting you, huh? You're not gonna hurt me.
Oh, that's funny. When they're sitting outside his house and they're drinking a beer and talking, and he says, as soon as I sprout fur, as soon as you see me sprout fur,
yeah,
I want you to shoot me in the head. And she said, I'm not shooting you. Oh, that was funny. That was hilarious. But you know what? As soon as she said, as soon as he said, why don't you get me a beer?
Uh-huh.
I knew he was going to take off.
Yeah.
Yeah. I knew he was going to take off, you know. And at least she was smart enough to get that shotgun.
Yes.
Because when she first started going, I thought, girl, you better get you a weapon or something.
Yes, because there are all kind of shit out there.
Yeah, there's all kind of stuff.
First of all, these people just walking through the woods? No, I don't even do that in the daytime.
Yeah, but you know what? In fairness to them, though, they grew up there. So, you know, she'd been in them woods since she was a little girl.
True,
she wouldn't think nothing of it. Neither would Jason.
I guess not.
Because they grew up there, see?
Yeah.
I mean, oh, hell no, I don't go in the woods.
Me neither.
You know.
And in the daytime, I have a problem with that, too.
Because it's just like comedians say, you know, black people and white people are different. White person hearing noise in the woods, ooh, what's that? Black person hearing noise in the woods, they halfway to town in the opposite direction. Shoot, we not going to go investigate no noises in the woods. No way.
Well, I'm not.
Mm-mm. Anyway, so.
Anyhow, so. He goes off in the woods. She tries to chase after him. And, of course, by this time, she gets kind of turned around and lost.
Yep.
Jason,
and she's making a lot of noise. She is yelling for him.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, because I remember, I was thinking, girl, shut up. Shit, you being too damn loud.
Yeah.
You know, because there's going to be a wolf pack in the woods and probably panthers shifting in the woods. You know, all the shit that shifts on a full moon.
Right.
You know, and she's yelling, Jason. Oh, hell no. She was too damn loud. I'm surprised something didn't come across, but, you know.
I guess it was too early.
Yeah, it must have been too early in the evening.
Or too noisy or something.
But she does encounter Debbie and Alcide. I thought that scene was funny, too, because Debbie was the first one through, and
well,
she said.
I thought it was weird because, first, isn't Shreveport supposed to be, like, several hours away?
Well, yeah.
Where they live.
Yeah.
And why they have to go through.
Maybe a couple of hours.
So how do they end up going through Sookie's part of the woods to get there? To the pack.
Well, just because.
Leader.
Just because he's the pack leader in Shreveport doesn't mean that they don't. Wolves roam.
I just thought that was strange.
I didn't think it was strange at all.
Like, okay, they're trying to figure out a way to get them all to meet up. But to me. I mean, Shreveport's supposed to be further away. How would they even meet up in the middle of the woods? That's just
because
it's
just like any other little meeting or whatever. You don't always have it like right there. You know what I mean?
Well, apparently they didn't because they met up in the woods.
There's all kind of other little towns.
Of all the little wooded areas, they met up in that one.
Well, they didn't. Well, they crossed paths. They weren't meeting up. They were still on their way to the meeting.
But still, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but I didn't trip on that.
I thought that was strange.
It didn't. It didn't bother me.
Now,
because
I was all see. If I come home and that little greasy headed dude was sitting in my living room, I'd be pissed too.
Well, first of all, he would have went out the window.
Nah, or you gotta pay for the windows.
He would have left my house. He wouldn't have been standing there saying nothing to me. He would have been gone.
He should be mad at, I think he is mad at Debbie, not really the pack leader.
He is.
But I like the way the pack leader Marcus said it. He's like, well, you know, wonder you was kind of riled up because I wouldn't blame you if I had gone through what you'd gone through with your last pack leader.
Yeah.
And pack and all the stuff that you went through. So I don't blame you.
And he said, Debbie need to keep her mouth shut.
Yeah.
Because she done sat there all afternoon, I guess, and told all they
business.
Shit. All
their
stuff.
All their business.
Uh-huh. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And she talking about, but I need the pack. Now, I could see her point, though, because, you know, wolves travel in packs.
And
that's true.
She said, look, the last time When we broke up, I lost my whole world because you were my whole world. I can't do that.
Yeah, I can't do it again.
I can't do that.
Of which I agree with her, though.
True.
I think she does have a point. And I still say, though, she's got ulterior motives. But what she said made sense and everything. And I agree with her. Mm-hmm. Because the last time, yeah, you know, she did. There wasn't she didn't have nothing but him. Nothing but him. And then when they start arguing and stuff and, you know,
having problems.
Yeah, having problems and breaking apart. Then that's when she took up with that Cuda fool.
Well, probably that's how she got hooked on V and then hooked up with Cuda.
Yeah. Yeah.
This fool don't look any better.
Mm-hmm. But I thought that was a very interesting way. I like that whole scene, though, notwithstanding that, you know, Shreveport's supposed to be far away or whatever. But wait a minute. Evidently, Shreveport ain't that far away. Because if you recall, when Jessica was going to the drugstore to get some aspirin for Hoyt, and it said Shreveport that way, and she went on to Fantasia. Yeah. So it can't be that far away. So it's probably like, you know.
Even if it was 30 miles away, 30 minutes away, I still don't see how they would pass
because
each other in the woods.
Because it's all woods.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You know? Anyway, that didn't bother
Whatever.
Me. That didn't bother me. But I thought it was very interesting how Sookie is... Oh, and this is the part I thought was interesting. Of course, she had that shotgun ready. And I don't blame her because, you know, Debbie did try to kill her one time. But didn't you notice as soon as Alcee stepped from behind that tree, she put the gun down?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what?
Well, because she felt safer. Because she knows Debbie ain't going to jump her ass with Alcee there.
I took it differently. I took it like because she didn't want Alcee thinking that she was going to shoot Debbie.
Oh, I don't think she... Yeah. No, I don't think it was that. I think, you know, as soon as she saw Alcee, she was like, oh, okay, I don't have to be so worried.
Well, yeah.
And then she started chatting.
True.
Hey, how does where people get... Why does that happen? Which, I'm glad they had that conversation.
They had that conversation.
Even though the whole meeting was kind of contrived to me, but I'm glad they had the conversation because I was a little confused about this, although I try not to go from the books, but it's true. In the books, they say you have to have one of the parents.
Mm-hmm.
They change and they're not a full wear, whatever.
So all them women he impregnated, all they little cubs going to be half because only one parent.
Can turn.
Well, right. But they wouldn't be a full Panther.
No.
They'd be a half because Jason is not.
And I seem to recall in the books, too, where it wasn't every child in the family that...
Exactly.
It wasn't always every child. It was like the first born child or something that was that would turn. Mm-hmm. But in on the TV show, it seems like it's all...
Yeah, it seemed like all of them.
So...
Mm-hmm.
But, so I don't get, though, why they were saying, well, you got the fever when Jason was first getting bit and he was having...
He probably, like you said last time, he need to go to the goddamn clinic because he probably has some nasty ass bacteria or something. He probably had an infection, but it wasn't the fever that he was turning like they thought. Because, you know, they ignorant. Mm-hmm. And like he told Jessica, them people in Hot Shots so stupid, they can't even make a werepanther right. That's what he said.
Was funny.
He said, they so stupid, they can't even make a werepanther right.
Now, that was another scene.
Lord have mercy.
Skipping around, but that's okay. That was another scene that was strange. So Jason gets kind of lost around in the woods, and he's hearing shit. And we see Jessica and Merlotte, and she just looks off to the side and runs out.
That's because she felt him.
We find out that she felt him.
That's because he slurped up her blood. Same with Bill. Him and Sookie was always connected. Same with him.
What I'm saying is that, I don't know, it was just abrupt when she ran off, and I was like, where the hell is she going?
Well, that's what they do. She said, I felt your fear, because she went to hell.
I get it. I'm saying, but we didn't know that at the time she ran off.
Oh, I did immediately.
Oh, I didn't.
I did because first thing I thought was, Jason done slurped up her blood, so they are connected. And plus, of course you knew that. He done already had the dreams about her.
Sister J, why are you deliberately not understanding whatever I'm saying today?
Hey, I know what you're saying, but you're not thinking.
No, I'm telling you what I thought when I watched that doggone show.
Oh, you must have been half asleep or something.
That probably is true. But still, I watched it a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And my first reaction was, where the hell is she going that fast? Then, of course, I connected it once.
Yeah.
You know, she met up with Jason in the woods. And, you know, he's trying to, you know, she overhears him yelling, I'm a werepanther, I'm, you know, and a cop. And so she's asking him, too, well, can that happen? Can you turn? He's like, I don't know.
My only problem.
Well, I'm not going to leave you by yourself because my first night I was by myself.
Right. And I thought that was cute. Yeah. My only problem with that whole scene was I thought it was too long. It was a lot. That was a long scene.
The first part of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a long scene.
I like the second part of their scene where they're sitting there waiting and they're just talking. And
That was good.
That, to me, I liked it because Jason finally says what I'm sure, what I was thinking too is, he feels kind of let down that he's not going to turn and this and that. She's like, well, why? He's like, well, you know, growing up with Sookie, I always wondered why she got all the special stuff and I didn't.
And he said, I got tired of getting my ass beat sticking up for her. That's what he said.
Well, in school, because people would mess with her. But he's like, but you know, I'm nothing special. And when Jessica says, what? Well, Hoyt told me.
I thought she was real good.
It was good.
It was
And it was
kind of
awkward at the same time because.
I know.
They both look at each other like, hey. But, you know, it was cute. It was cute the way
it
she
was. It was really cute.
Well, Hoyt told me you used to go with all the girls and you were a star football player. And look at you. How could you not think you're special? And he kind of looked at her like, oh, you feeling me? Because I'm feeling you. She's like, yeah, you feeling me? I'm feeling you. But then he gets all awkward. He's like, oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. Then he jumps up and well,
jumps up.
I'm just plain old Jason. You know. And the first thing I thought was, okay, don't make him go back to being stupid and stuff. But he can't really because he is a deputy sheriff.
Well, he.
So
he
still got to do his deputy sheriff stuff.
I mean, he's kind of done with the street smart stuff. You know?
Yeah, because when Sookie was trying to explain to him how some people, you know, have special skills and stuff, and he says, oh, yeah, like I'm really good at sex and stuff. And she said, yeah. You know, like, yeah, you keep thinking that, dummy. he's clueless, though, sometimes.
Well, he must have been because he had all the girls. So,
yeah.
You know.
Anyway, so.
But I like that scene with Jessica and him.
Yeah, that was cute. But the scene with Sookie and Alcide and Debbie, that was really, really good because I liked the fact when she was asking about were the werepanthers just like the werewolves, and when Debbie said, no, she didn't just call us some big cats or something like that. I thought that was
compare
good.
Compare us to cats.
Yeah, and then when Alcide and Debbie both told her, no, you know, a human, even if a human got bit, you can't change into a werewolf or a panther.
Yeah.
It's hereditary. Got to have parents that have it. So she was all happy. She says, okay, well, thank you. Y'all have helped me so much. Go kill something or do whatever
go
y'all
shift,
do.
Kill something, do
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, that was funny.
That was cute.
That was funny. And then, of course, she's going through the woods looking for Jason, and she looks up, and who's there? Eric. And she says, how? And he says, the king freed me. So, of course, you know, they run to each other's arms and start kissing and stuff. Next thing we see, they are butt naked in the dirty grass having sex. Now, I'm sorry. No. Not on no ground in no dirt.
Hey, if Eric was there, you do whatever.
Oh, you know what? No. Uh-uh.
Nah, but still, they had all them chances in the house.
And everything, and you're gonna screw somebody out in the dirt? Oh,
Sookie
hell
don't mind
no.
The dirt. She screwed Bill out in the dirt.
Yeah, that's true. But they're on the grass and stuff, and the first thing I thought was, damn.
Chiggers.
You know, there's bugs and stuff that crawl around in the grass.
Mosquitoes.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
But
that's
you know,
nasty.
There's a couple of instances on this episode where you saw their breath. So it's supposed, I'm sure it was cold there while they were filming, but it's supposed to be warm. Outside, but yeah, so it'd be mosquitoes and stuff flying around.
I'm sorry, no. Mm-mm. He'd have to, yeah, come on, let's go back to the house. Let's go back to the house, yeah. Dang, in the dirt. That's the only thing that bothered me. That was just too nasty. I'm sorry. That's just too nasty.
Well, at least it was grass and not the dirt like that time with Bill.
Yeah, that was nasty too. Mm. Anyway, so that's where we leave them to, which is really good because, you know, hey, at least she gets what she wants and he gets what he wants. So,
yeah.
All right, who are we going to talk about now?
Tara.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about Miss Tara. Now, this is the one where I think I started last week. She's sleeping on the couch at Lafayette's house because, Lafayette and Jesus down in Mexico. And
Mexico.
There's a knock at the door. And, you know, I knew instantly it was going to be Naomi. I just knew that because, you know, it was going to be. So Naomi confronts her.
Naomi come in riled up.
But you'd be kind of mad, too.
Yeah.
But I do think that once Tara explains it to her, and she kind of went through some of the things that she had went through in that town, I think because Naomi was still angry, you know, she says, well, I'm glad you had a vacation from your life, you know, at my expense and stuff. When she threw Tara on the ground, I thought, that girl ain't going to get rowdy. Oh, that was, and Tara, do what you got to do.
If you're going to throw me on the ground in 1 minute and kiss me in the second minute, we ain't going through all that.
Hey, But you know what? They fight each other in them cage matches, that's their relationship.
And you can tell that Tara let her throw her down.
Because,
you know, and keep her down on the ground because Tara could have flipped her around.
But that's why she said, do what you got to do. And then that's when Naomi kissed her, you know. And, but then the next scene we have, I thought was really cute because she's taking her to Merlot's.
Yeah.
That was really cute.
Showing her around.
And did you notice that the people, men looking at her?
It was all the people.
Looking at her.
Going, what? Two girls, they're holding hands.
And then Tara slaps Naomi on the butt.
Yep.
Oh, all the people are looking. They think, what?
And then that's when Jessica comes up and is going to take their order before she runs out to get to Jason. But
well, and what you call him, Tara does say, where's Arlene? And she says, oh, both her and Holly called in sick. Oh, we didn't talk about Holly, though, fire. Because, see, the fire damaged her apartment, too. Because although Terry and Arlene's fire burned down their whole apartment, but it caught the other ones.
House.
Yeah. Well, but they're side by side.
Right.
So it caught the other ones on fire, too. So Holly had to move. She had to move out.
And what was that with Bud macking on Holly?
It's not Bud. Andy.
Oh, what? Lord. I said Bud.
Yeah. Remember
Andy.
Bud?
Yeah.
I like Bud, though.
Yeah.
But Andy. Uh-huh. Well, first of all, Andy come up there trying to get rowdy with Sam. Talking about, if I find out that you endangered my cousin... And talking about Terry.
Sam told him, too, look, I had about enough of your bullshit.
Yeah, I had about enough of you effing with me. Mm-hmm. He said, oh, I'm going to turn into a Doberman and bite your face off.
I think all of that, you know, the reason we were talking the other day about the reason he didn't get riled up with Maxine and he didn't get riled up with Andy and stuff. I think it's because he's trying not to let his angry side come out.
Oh, yeah. He's trying to control himself.
He's trying to control himself. Mm-hmm. But he said, you know, sometimes you got to get rowdy with people.
Well.
And tell them, look, quit fucking with me.
And he has had about enough of Andy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's going to figure it out, too, pretty soon. Because he says, I don't know what's the matter with you. But you better quit effing with me. You know. Yep. And then that's when Holly said, and if you notice, Sam was just about to say some other shit.
Yeah.
And Holly says, excuse me, cook, I get a hand here or something.
Andy went immediately over there.
Went over there. And she says, would you mind lifting this chair up in the truck? And he just picks it up like it's a toothpick. That's that V. And she's looking at him. Because, see, Holly's intuitive because, you know, she's a Wiccan.
Well, but she doesn't know. She can't.
But she looked at him like, what? And he said, sheriff work is a workout or something like that, you know. And he go, ask her for a date. And she said, oh, yeah, my house just burned down, uh-huh. And she says, well, why not? Yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
That was funny.
I feel kind of sorry for Andy, though. I don't know.
His face was
like, oh, I guess I misread the signal.
I know. That was kind of pitiful.
That was kind of pitiful.
You know, but.
I like that. I like her, Holly.
I do, too. And I think I like them two together. I just want him to leave Sam alone.
He needs to quit doing drugs.
Yeah, well, he needs to quit jacking with people. Mm-hmm. You know? Okay, you want to do your little bee and stuff? Well, do it in the privacy of your house, but don't be doing it on duty and then going jacking with people.
Oh, well, that, you know. Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting to see how him and Holly's little date goes and stuff. But anyway, okay, so we had to get to that because then when Tara is there being waited on by Jessica, see, that's why. Because both Arlene and Holly, they shit them burned down. So, yep. You know, they had to go somewhere else to live, you know, for a few days or whatever until, you know, they're going to decide.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Jessica was all excited because if you recall, last year.
Yeah, she couldn't wait.
He couldn't wait tables. Mm-mm. She couldn't wait tables. She was only the hostess, so she was excited to, you know, actually be waiting on the table, see. And so when she left in that vampire speed, that's what Tara said. She said, see what I tell you.
Been here 5 minutes.
5 minutes. You know. She looks so disgusted, though.
Uh-huh. It's a fucking vampire.
Okay, next time we see Tara, her and Naomi are standing outside Merlot's at their little vehicle, and Tara's getting ready to smoke. She said her last little cigarette, because Tony evidently is the one that smoked. And so she's going to be honest and be Tara. And so Naomi's just telling her, well, I think I like this Tara person. You know,
yeah,
she
ain't smoking after this.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but she's brave. She's smart. I mean, she names all this stuff. She says, you are leaving and coming back to New Orleans with me, aren't you? And then
Tara looking like, well.
Well. And then here come Pam.
Oh, nasty Pam.
Oh. And I forget what she says. And so Tara's trying to tell Naomi, look, you need to leave. Hurry up now. And she says, no, I'm not leaving you here. She says, yeah, you need to go now. And Pam's like, well, wait a minute, ladies. There's enough of me for both of y'all. I'm thinking, oh, shit, no. No.
Take off an ear.
And then she bared her teeth and it's going to... And it's...
Rushing them. Yep.
So I guess she's going to get ready to attack Tara.
She's pissed.
Damn.
Pam is hot because
That's what I'm saying. I think that rot is affecting her mind too because she's just volatile. She's just volatile.
Well,
she never
don't
was
have
like
any
that.
Love lost for any of.
Well, that's you, true you too. Know, but you know, Pam just—that just wasn't part of her personality,
right,
though.
Right.
And I mean, I do realize she's mad and everything, and wants some revenge. But she's just volatile, so I think it's affecting her mind too. I really do.
Probably is.
Mm-hmm. But she looked bad. Bam! She looked bad.
Terrible.
My sharp, fine Pam. They done messed her up.
Yep, and even got her in some ugly clothes.
Ugly clothes, all that black and shit. Oh,
Okay, so then we need to go into Lafayette and Jesus.
Oh, that was good.
That was good. I like this.
That was good. Lafayette. I knew it. Okay.
Well, Jesus. And his grandpa are kind of staring each other down. Lafayette's looking around like, oh, shit.
We having goat for breakfast. Goat tongue for breakfast. That's what they served her. Pop that goat tongue on the plate. And granddaddy's cutting it off. Munching.
I wouldn't have eaten.
Oh, hell no. Lafayette didn't.
I'd be like, I hear some. Well, see, I heard chickens. And I'm like, shit, can we go get a chicken?
Chicken or something. A goat tongue.
No.
But, you know, yeah, so they staring each other down. And so, you know. Granddaddy finally says, bring me a sacrifice and we'll see. So they go outside and wait for some animal to come to them. And Lafayette had me dying, talking about, oh, you going to wait for some animal to come up to you and say, oh, yeah, kill me for your sacrifice. I don't blame Lafayette, though. It seemed kind of far-fetched.
He's doing good to be there.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't have been there.
He said, your granddaddy is making a fool of you. He inside all nice and warm and cozy with your ass out here waiting on something.
Yeah.
And you could tell Jesus was getting frustrated, too.
He was
getting frustrated because he called himself, in his mind, He is doing this for Lafayette to keep Lafayette safe.
I'm not sure about that.
Well, that's what he's telling Lafayette.
Right, see.
He's doing it because he wants the
power.
Why
he want to keep Lafayette so safe and not himself?
But he's doing it. But see, Granddaddy done peeped that out.
Yeah.
Granddaddy has peeped that out.
He's watching Lafayette.
Mm-hmm. He keeps, if you notice, he keeps giving him, like, as
those
you say,
well,
I was going to say, just like you say with Bill, the Granddaddy keeps giving Lafayette the side eye. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He do. And so does that girl, Maria.
Honey, Maria, she said, chick, chick, lock the door.
Well, not yet, though, because the snake, they get the rattlesnake first, because the rattlesnake walks up. So he takes the rattlesnake to the Granddaddy, and the Granddaddy finally said, about time. Did you see the face that was on him before he used that snake?
Oh, I know. The evil face.
Mm-hmm. So that little, he kind of morphed into that little evil face first, and then he used that snake to bite Jesus on the neck. And then he looked at Lafayette and said, save him.
And then him and the girl left.
The girl done padlocked the dome. Now, say, wait, but did you see Lafayette? He went, oh. He's about ready to get up and run.
No,
hell no. She padlocking the door.
Why are you locking the goddamn door? No.
She got up and
then,
locked that
when
door.
Jesus was falling down, twitching and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear them lock the other door that they left from?
Yes.
Oh, no.
They went through like to a bedroom or something and locked that door.
No, no, no.
Oh, Lord. Talking about saving him.
Looks up and there's a Uncle Tio.
His name is Tio Luca.
Uncle Luca.
And he possesses him.
Into Lafayette.
He possesses him.
And Lafayette starts saying, oh, calm down.
He starts speaking fluent Spanish.
Yep.
That was funny, though.
That was good.
And Jesus is looking at him like,
what?
Mm-hmm. That was a good scene. That was one of my favorite scenes in the whole show. It's when right after Jesus fell down on the floor, he's twitching and stuff, and he's dying from that poison. And when that guy possessed Lafayette, I thought, what? Oh, that was good.
Really think it was poisonous snake. I think it
it could have been.
I don't know.
Yeah, because rattlesnakes are poisonous. They'll kill you. If a rattlesnake bites you, you're dead unless you can get to a hospital really quickly and get that poison out. That's how come they cut a person and suck it out.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
You've seen it on cowboy movies.
TMI.
But anyway, so I thought that was good.
It's a good little scene.
And he did exactly like Marnie. Once Jesus was all right, and then the spirit kind of left him, he said, who's Tia Luca?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't talk about Marnie.
Not yet.
That, to me, I love all of the Marnie scenes.
I love Marnie, though.
I do, too.
I mean, this is just... okay.
She
is excellent.
To her goddess and spirits.
But she cutting herself and stuff.
That bothered me.
She was doing it because the ritual she was doing to call the spirit demanded blood. That's why the granddaddy cut himself. Because did you notice?
Yes.
She smeared that blood on her forehead and her arms.
But
Jesus
was kind of like, why? She's doing bloodletting? He's like, hey, you got to fight what she's fighting with.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, well, we just bottling vampires. He goes, you don't even know what you need. Well,
yeah. Idiot. He said, you don't even know what you need.
That's what
he said. Idiot.
Like, you don't even know what you need.
You need possession. And did you see him jump again?
Yep.
He said, what? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, for Marnie,
so
we see more
good
scenes with that Antonia of those priest vampires sucking her blood, and that Luis one raped her.
That Luis, he's the same one. That's one of the sheriffs of Louisiana. Mm-hmm. But that backstory was really good, interesting, wasn't it, though?
Yes. They show her back
really
on that big burning
pyre thing.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And she's doing her little chant, talking about, you gonna burn.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently not... You know, I didn't realize this in the first part when we saw it, but mm-hmm. some of those priests and people were normal humans. And
yeah,
so
some
when
of them
those
were.
Vampire priests came out burning up, they was freaking out,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, because they didn't realize them.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. And that's why they kept those witches in the dungeon. And they go down to that dungeon to chomp on them at night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I knew that because, you know, and it was always those same ones, see. But yeah. But what I found interesting was that when Antonia was on that that fire pyrie, and she was burning, and they had already started the fire, and she was saying the little chant to call them out into the sun. So were all her other group too. They was in their little cell, and they was all doing it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oops. They was all doing it. So all of them vampires came outside, and they all burnt up. And there were some nuns too. They burnt up. And then, of course, we're back in the present day, and Marnie wakes up. And then this is what I liked about it. Right before she is possessed, though, she is aware that Antonia is there. So she finally gets to see her.
Yeah.
See, and well, even if it's just for that moment, I mean, she's conscious of the fact that that's the woman that she's been seeing the visions of.
Yeah.
And then Antonia possesses her. And of course, Antonia is really happy because she's got a new body now and everything. And then she's looking up in the surveillance cameras.
That was
grinning. Freaking. And of course, Luis is watching her on the surveillance cameras. And he knows it's Antonia. Why that fool went down there, I don't know.
I don't know either. I think she might be compelled him to go. Or
I don't think so. No.
I think the way she was looking at him made him want to go down
Well,
there.
Because he thought he could terrorize her again. Yeah. See? But she got the power. Because he went down in there and he says, oh, so we...
And she got her little accent.
Yeah. We meet again, Antonia, and stuff. But this is what cracked me up. When he opened up that cell, did you see the way she was standing?
Looking at him.
But the way her whole body was standing. Because Marnie don't stand like that.
Right.
I love it. These actors are good, though.
But when she was looking at him in the camera, that was freaky. So then he turned off the camera. And then when he went down into the cell and she's standing there looking at him coming through the door. Mm-hmm. That's what I tell you right there. Okay, she waited. For your ass.
Yeah, she waiting for his ass. She was
and when
standing
she
there.
Stopped him.
Oh, that was good.
Her little hook 'em horns, whatever.
Yeah,
they call
she
it.
Went. And she said,
"Yield
or something." And then when he knelt down, she said something like, "You idiot" or something like that. Mm-hmm. You stupid ass shit or
but
something.
That was in Marnie's voice.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, it was good. I can't wait to see what Antonia gonna do next.
But I think she's gonna go a little overboard because you know we have the vampires that we love.
That's
we don't
true.
Want her pulling out some of our vampires that we like.
I know,
but you know they're gonna have to figure out a way to.
They're gonna have to figure it out.
But, her,
but I really like Marnie.
Like I do too.
So now we know that Lafayette gonna have to deal with Antonia. That's what I'm thinking.
Or Tio Luca.
Tio Luca. Well, but
Tio Luca.
But it's still, you know, halfway Lava. Lafayette because, he's going to have to, well, but this is what I think. Now, Tio Luca, Uncle Luca or whatever, he possessed him down there in Mexico and stuff, but Winnie is there
up
now.
Here.
Winnie's up here now.
If see, that's her.
That is the same. You go back and look at that. Go back and look at that V trip.
Yeah.
That is the same woman.
Yeah.
And so she is going to be there. And in the previews, did you see him looking at her? Because he's in the kitchen at Merlot's and he going like that. And there
it
she
did,
is.
Yeah. It
yeah.
Like that was the scene.
Mm-hmm. So, ooh, that's going to be good.
That was a
this is
going to
be
episode.
Good. Yeah, this was a very good episode. I liked it. I liked it a lot. A lot of stuff happened with the characters, though.
Well, kind of. I mean, it was, to me, it was not as fun as other episodes.
Well, but they have to move it on along, though.
They have
though.
To move it on.
Yeah, they have
you're
to,
right.
You know, they had to deal with that hot shot shit.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we're through with the hot shot shit. You know.
Well.
Since Jason's not turning and stuff, there's no need. And if she come around him again, just shoot her in the head.
Yep.
You know, just shoot Crystal in the head. That's all you got to do.
Okay, well,
alrighty.
Is that all? Did we get all the characters? That-
I think we did. We talked about everybody that, you know, Sam and everybody, Sookie. We talked about Alcide and Debbie and that little Bill and the Packmaster dude. And, yeah, okay. We got everybody. So.
All right, well, let's start with our email because we got some really good email.
Okay, cool.
Our first one is from Paris.
Hey, Paris.
He says, can we just start at the end? That was hot. Quite possibly the best surprise ending True Blood has done yet. Damn, Eric is big. Pun always intended. I can't even focus. Can we safely say that Bill has given the blessing and let Sookie go?
Yep.
Doubtful, but at least he's letting her choose for herself. Mm-hmm. I love it. Marnie Antonia is gathering power, and she ain't nothing to play with.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to see Antonia as the villain while knowing what she suffered, but eventually she is going to be a big threat to the characters we know and love, which is what I was
saying. Yeah, you just said that. Mm-hmm.
It looks like Tara will be joining her side. Yep. That's not going to be pretty for anyone. Mm-hmm. Tommy is officially dead when he wakes back up. Sam, don't play that. Jessica and Jason is officially a go. I get the feeling that Jess is going to be much more aggressive in going after him than he is about her.
Trouble. Could be.
Poor Arlene and Terry. That was a really good scene, and apparently there is a spirit hovering around them. And I'm going to call it and say it's the doll.
Yeah.
Finally, I really enjoyed the Lafayette Jesus scene. These two men are excellent actors. Mm-hmm. I was really scared when Grandpa did whatever he did.
I know!
I'm guessing he cursed Jesus' blood against the vamps and summoned some kind of protection spirit. Mm-hmm. I'm rambling now, but this episode was so much fun, and they gave us a full hour. This is why I love True Blood. Can't wait to hear from you, sisters. Paris.
Thank you, Paris, for that email. And, you know, I agree, too. And one thing, excuse me, one thing I did notice, I was kind of checking my little DVR because this episode, I watched it at the time it was on, but I also tape it, too. And it was the whole full hour. You know how they end like 10 or so minutes before and then you got all these previews yes. and commercials? It was the whole hour. Yeah, it was excellent. But I agree with you. The best scene was the last scene. Yeah, with Naked Eric. That was awesome.
Well,
yeah.
Okay, well, our next email is from Sarah.
Hey, Sarah.
Howdy ho, sisters. I will try to refrain myself from getting too graphic in this email, but you'll have to excuse me. My Eric got some Nikki. Another good episode for this Eric lover. However, why was he on for only 3 minutes at the beginning and 3 minutes at the end? What the hell? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to care if Braindead, Allseed, and Skank Debbie join a pack or not.
Oh,
please.
Oh, she is down on Allseed.
You know, like Allseed. I will say, he was kind of in this episode.
Yeah, he was lackluster.
And this book lover is a tad disappointed that Jason won't be turning. I was clutching my pearls in anticipation through the entire episode to see what a half-wear looks like. Mm. Oh, well, I guess the bright side is no more reason to see Hot Shots.
Ain't that the truth?
As I've stated before, I'm not a Jessica fan, but if her being paired with Jason gives him a decent storyline, I'm all for it.
Yep.
I like Jessica.
I like Jessica, too.
And my wonderful Pam, you have my permission to kill both Tara, Tony, and Naomi. Do it slowly and make Tara suffer.
Oh, my goodness.
Jesus and Lafayette in Mexico. Wake me when it's over. Who cares? The big time waster of the episode.
Oh.
What?
What?
Sarah.
I love that episode, that scene.
Yeah, she don't like none of the characters.
She don't. Except Eric.
OMFG, Sam Trammell was on fire playing Tommy playing Sam.
I know.
With a limp to boot. It's mm-hmm. about time Sookie was fired. Mm-hmm. And methinks Luna won't be knocking on the trailer door again for a long time.
I know. He's going to have some splaining to do.
Holy naked thrusting Viking ass in the moonlight. Mm. The only thing that could have made it better was if it was the real Eric and not this temporary version. Did you see that butt, sisters? Next time, Mr. Ball, do the world a favor. No one wants to see Bill's pouting rat face in the middle of a good moonlight Viking pillage. Looking forward to another brilliant podcast, sisters. Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah, for that email. Sarah. I mean, your description is so colorful, but yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, it's true. Except
that one scene with Bill pining, and looking off into the
holding a glass of wine. Who cares?
We don't care about all that.
Thank you for that email.
Okay, our next email is from Brother Ray.
Hey, Brother Ray.
Hello, Sister J and Sister K. First of all, love your podcast. I follow the True Blood and Big Brother podcast. You guys are wonderful.
Great.
Just finishing watching episode 6 of True Blood, and once it was over, the first thought was, I wonder what the sisters thought of this episode. I just can't wait until you tape your podcast, but I can't afford to pay you to podcast as a full-time job. So that means you have to go to work and can't just be here for my enjoyment.
That's right.
With that said, I love this episode and can't wait to hear what you have to say. First, Sookie. Sorry, sisters, but I couldn't take her serious this episode. I know she had the love scene with Eric, but I could not get the thought of her walking around with that big old shotgun.
I know.
I expected her to go back into the house and get a checkered hat and coat and start looking for the Wastily Wabbit. Too funny. I like this Eric, but ready for old Eric also. Tommy is hopeless, or as Maxine eloquently retorted, useless as a bucket of spit. He's dead to me. And tell him I want my Bible back. I love that woman. Sam was great in this episode. Although I want Tommy gone, Sam's portrayal of Tommy being Sam makes his presence bearable.
I know. That was excellent.
It was good. And I like Maxine, too.
I love Maxine Fortenberry.
Poor Arlene. She's one step from crazy. Horrible fire, but it was great to see Terry holding the armadillo.
I know. Little baby Felix.
Forgot about him. Can't wait to find out more about that beautiful black woman waving at the baby. Mm-hmm. I hope she becomes a major character. Marnie is now a badass, and I can't wait to see what happens next. Hoping Tara becomes a badass also, and I miss her sassiness. Mm-hmm. Love seeing Offseed, but Debbie is still nuttier than squirrel shit, if you ask me. Will we now see an epic battle between Marnie and Lafayette?
Yes.
And my poor Pam, still in love with her rotting and all. Well, that's all for now. Can't wait to hear your podcast, Brother Ray.
Hey, thank you, Brother Ray, for that wonderful email. And you know, I agree with your comments about Pam. Yeah. I mean, she's rotten and all that, and she looked real ugly, but they're going to have to fix Pam because they cannot get rid of Pam. I love Pam.
No.
She is just too good.
Yeah, she's too tough.
Yeah, she just sharp. Yeah, sharp as a tack. So, yeah. All right.
Okay, our next email is from Terry.
Hey, Terry.
She says, just watched the July 31st episode and thought it was outstanding. Mm-hmm. So much going on. How awesome was actor Sam Trammell as Sam Merlot being taken over by Tommy? The walk, the voice, everything.
I know.
So good. The interaction with Sookie, then with Luna, it was all really well done, I thought.
Yep.
Oh, geez. Now Sam is going to wonder why Luna and Sookie are pissed at him.
I know it.
He sure is.
I know it, because they're going to be mad.
They're going to be mad. That Sam Trammell, he is always very intriguing to me. Mm-hmm. The Sam character has that gorgeous, sweet smile, but there is so much under the surface.
I know.
And Bill shows mercy to Eric? Can't wait to hear your take on that.
Mm-hmm.
Love the scenes with Jason and Sookie. My favorite line was when Jason said, "What are you going to do, change my key leader?"
Yeah, very I forgot funny. About that. I forgot
yes,
about
that. That was good.
Yeah.
And do you think Jason and Jessica are going to be able to control themselves?
Nope.
As much as I like Hoyt, I have to say he is kind of boring.
Yep.
Can't say that about Jason. Ever notice that Sookie has her own romantic theme music whenever the deed is about to be done? Am I the only one cracking up at that? She has her own private soundtrack for whenever she has sex, I swear. And hey, I just realized we had a week with no hot shot. 3 cheers.
Yay!
Woo-hoo. One last question. Who the hell is the disappearing lady with baby Mikey, that baby Mikey was smiling at? Can't wait for the podcast, Terry.
Thank you, Terry, for that email. And I still say, I think that's Winnie. I think that's the same woman that was in Lafayette's V-trip with Jesus. I think that's who that is.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I think that's who.
Now that you say it.
Yep. Okay, great email.
Okay, our next email is from Sabrina.
Hey, Sabrina.
She says, greetings, ladies. So much happened in True Blood. Marnie has a witch riding her. Mm-hmm. Things are going to get hot.
Yep.
Wait, they already got hot. Devil baby fire at Terry and Arlene. And a mystery ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Goat ton for breakfast. Sisters, I love goat, but just the thought of that, yuck.
Ew, I don't eat no goat.
I don't eat no goat either.
However, I did grow up eating cow tongue.
Oh, Lord.
Because my parents were from the farm, so, you know, we ate all of the cow and the pig.
I wouldn't eat.
Oh, yeah. Cow tongue sandwich is pretty good.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Jesus was bitten by a snake and magically saved by the tag team of Lafayette and Tio Luca.
Mm-hmm.
So is there going to be a showdown between Lafayette, Tio Luca, and Marnie?
Yep.
Tommy is a skinwalker, as suspected.
Yep.
Jason is not a werepanther. Pam is now an extra for The Walking Dead. I wasn't shocked that Bill let Eric go. Alan Ball knows half the viewers would quit the show if anything happened to Eric.
Oh, hell yeah.
What do you think of Bill now? Do you forgive him for all the underhanded things he's done just because he showed mercy?
Nope.
Personally, I never liked Bill in the books and never trusted him on the show. Sookie and Eric's love scene was the most beautifully shot of the series so far. Alexander Skarsgård in the moonlight, hubba hubba. If only they showed a full moon naked all seed, the episode would have been good for me. And that's not even the half of it. I thought it was a great episode. Can't wait to hear your thoughts. True Blood forever, Sabrina.
Thank you, Sabrina, for that wonderful email. Alexander Skarsgård was looking too good.
He was looking good.
Except for the fact that they was having sex in the dirt. But other than that, he was looking too good.
Okay, the next email is from Myron.
Hey, Myron.
Hello, sisters. Your last podcast was hilarious. Y'all need to catch up before Sunday, please.
Yeah, we will.
Moving on to my favorite Sister Speak dialogue segment from episode 32. Sister K, who has sex with their clothes on like that? Sister K, probably a lot of people. Sister K, do they? Sister J, cackle, cackle, cackle. Sister J, why are you asking me? I don't know. Who you asking? I don't know what dim people do. More cackling. And I certainly don't know what white folks do. He says, that shit had me rolling. Up the excellent work, sister.
Well, hey.
That reminds me. Ain't none of y'all wrote in.
Nobody.
Tell me if you have sex with y'all clothes on.
You mean nobody answered that question?
Well, not yet.
Okay.
We only got one more.
Okay.
Email after this one.
Mm.
Oh, thank you, Myron, for bringing that back up.
Oh, that was funny, though. That was funny.
That was funny.
We weren't even trying to be funny, but hey, you know.
Okay, he says, all I have to say, sisters, is I have never had sex with my clothes on. Oh, hey, there you go.
There you go. You know what? Me neither.
Mm-hmm. I am not bragging, but I usually have to completely remake my bed after sex.
That's right, because all the covers fall off.
Oh, I didn't read this right. Let me start over.
Okay.
All I have to say, sisters, is number one, I have never had sex with my clothes on.
Okay.
Two, I am not bragging, but I usually have to completely remake my bed after sex. Especially if you have some silk sheets like
yeah.
they have.
Yeah.
Because you'd be sliding.
Uh-huh.
Three, a cleanup protocol is normally followed afterwards.
Thank you. You got to excuse yourself and go to the bathroom or something.
Four, we close our curtains at dusk, like Sister J said. And finally, five, I have never, never, ever, ever, never heard of any white man named Marcus.
There you go. Woo! Thank you, baby. There you go. I mean, hey, I have never heard of a white dude named Marcus. They've always been black.
Huh.
Really?
Yeah, I don't even...
I've never heard of it. So
now.
That's why when the pack master said Marcus, I thought, what? And he got stringy hair, white dude. No. Mm-mm.
Oh, my goodness.
It just kind of was jarring to me, but anyway.
Okay, he goes on to say, let's get started. Can Sookie stay on task? Wasn't she running in the woods with that shotgun looking for Jason?
Yep.
Next thing we know, Sookie is spread eagle in the sand.
True.
He said, next thing we know, Sookie is spread eagle in the same bushes Jason had sex with Crystal last episode.
There you go. Same bushes.
Last season, really.
Ooh, Lord.
Fairies must be hot in the ass or something. And didn't she run into half a bon top in the woods?
She sure did.
Why would she want to be out there under a full moon with Aussie Debbie and not to mention Jason being out there too?
Yeah.
I guess she figured if they had sex at the house, Bill might have interrupted them again.
Oh, Lord.
Sister Kay, aren't you glad we didn't get Teen Wolf Jason this episode? I was hoping Mr. Ball wouldn't go there, and it appears as though he won't.
Thank you.
Does anybody think Lafayette looks like the 90s group Criss Cross this season?
On.
He does.
The little braid thing.
And the little bandana.
Oh my God, that's funny.
That's funny.
That's hilarious.
He really doesn't have to have a different hairstyle every episode.
I know.
Fuck. He says, fuck, that sounds good. Rolling off my tongue, Sister K. Sookie Stackhouse. Tommy firing her was outstanding.
I know.
Her ass has been to take a Big Brother term floating all her life. She needs to know that she can get fired off her job. Mm-hmm. That was the one thing Tommy did that I did not have a problem with.
Me too.
Is it safe to assume that Pam killed Naomi? Tara might have to be put on the list of people not to date in Bon Temps next to Jason. Mm. People they date seem to get killed off more often than not.
Mm-hmm.
Sister J, you brought me back down memory lane when you talked about streetlights coming on and kids needing to be in the house.
That's right.
I appreciated that comment. I will end with my long-ass email, Sister J. Until next time, sisters, Myron.
Thank you, Myron.
P.S. It was good to get that cameo of Terry holding Felix.
I know.
I just knew Felix got burned up.
Oh, I'm so glad little baby Felix got saved, though.
I know,
that was
too.
So cute. Well, thank you for that wonderful, funny email. That was funny, hilarious.
And the only one to answer our question.
Yeah, you answered our question, because, hey, I'm with you.
You get the gold star, Mark.
Yeah, you don't be having no clothes on. Mm-mm.
Okay, and our next, our next email is from Tammy.
Hey, Tammy.
Hey, sisters. I love your podcast and am an avid follower of both y'all and the show True Blood.
Good.
This email is in response to your podcast episode 32, where you both discuss who has the window shades closed at night and who doesn't. I'm a black woman who's married to a European white man.
Uh-huh.
We have been together for almost 10 years, but you should have seen his face when we first moved in together and the sun started be that funny.
Okay, we're calm.
Oh, my Lord. Let me start over.
She says, Lord, have mercy.
I am a black woman who's married to a European white man. We have been together for almost 10 years, but you should have seen his face when we first moved in together and the sun started to set. It was me basically racing against time to close all the shades and blinds before I could turn on all the lights in the house, right, while my husband, then boyfriend, stood there looking frozen and puzzled.
I know!
So I had to explain to him that's just something I did.
That's right.
I was raised for the most part by my grandmother, who would always tell me to close the curtain when it got dark out. Mm-hmm. She always would say to me, you don't leave them open. People can see into your house.
That's right.
You would get shot through the window.
Oh, my goodness.
I guess I grew up in a bad neighborhood, sisters, since this was her idea of an urban legend to get me to close the curtains at nighttime.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Come to think of it, Grandma had really thick curtains hung up, too. They were like blankets over the window.
That's funny.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's funny.
She goes on to say, I have visited my husband's childhood home on various vacations and holidays, and there's barely a curtain.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Oh. Okay. Tammy, you cannot be sending this guy an email.
Oh, this is funny. This is good, Tammy. This is good.
Wait a minute, I have to sit up because this reclining is hurting my stomach.
Okay.
Woo! Okay. She says, I have visited my husband's childhood home on various vacations and holidays, and there's barely a curtain or blind to be had. Seriously. The first night over at his mom's house in Amsterdam, and I was looking around at the window as
it's funny.
Oh my gosh.
Oh gosh.
Huh. Okay, I'm just gonna read it. I can't laugh anymore. Oh, she says, I was looking around at the windows asking.
I need to read it.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I can't read anymore.
Oh. Let's see. She said. Okay. The first night at his mom's house in Amsterdam. Quit laughing. Okay. At the first night at his mom's house in Amsterdam, I was looking around at the windows asking, don't you guys put something over the windows? What the hell is this? Turns out, as he explained to me anyway, Dutch people don't really care about curtains or closing off the window at nighttime. That was the longest first visit of my life. Oh, I'm sorry, Daddy. Oh, she said, oh, I have since been back over to Amsterdam to visit. And while I love to get along with his mother-in-law very well, I still can't get used to that absence of curtains thing with glaringly black window pane staring at me. When my mother-in-law visits us, though, she at least gets it that I have curtains and use them in my house. I also, as my grandmother did, hung up the thickest curtains I could find. Good thing I have trained my husband well in the art of shutting the curtains when it gets dark outside. He does, but he still likes to tease me in a quavery, grandmotherly voice. You could get shot. Then I laugh. Oh, well, he might never get it, but as long as he does it, take care, Tammy. Oh, Tammy, this is hilarious. Oh, this is so good, Tammy.
Tammy,
thank
that
you
was
so
funny.
Much.
I'm so sorry. Oh, I could not even finish reading
oh,
it.
Oh, Tammy, that was great. Excellent email. Excellent. Oh, and the reason why, I can only speak for myself, Tammy. The reason why I'm laughing so hard is because I know it's true. I know it's true, and I have white friends, male and female, who over the years I have had the same type experience with. They say, what you doing closing the curtains? You know, we'll be visiting, you know, sitting around visiting, having our little drinks and stuff. And as soon as it gets dark, I'm going around closing the shades, you know. So,
oh, my goodness.
Oh, thank you for that Tammy, wonderful laugh, Tammy.
That was funny.
Oh, that's so good.
I did not need to laugh that hard. My throat hurts. My stomach hurts.
I got my exercise for the day.
My ab exercise.
Oh, that was so good. That was so good. Okay.
Thank you guys the great email.
Oh, that was a good one. That was a good one. Oh, was that the last one?
That was the last
one. Oh, well, oh, Lord, that's probably a good thing.
That is good. I can't take no more.
That was good.
Thank you, everybody, for the great email.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that was good today.
That was really good. Okay.
Although I'm disappointed nobody answered our question except for Myron.
Yeah, Myron's only one.
Only one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what's our little particulars?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So if you'd like to send us an email, answer that question we asked last time, it is sisterspeak@gmail.com. We have a voicemail number, which I can't remember, so just go to the website at sistersinreview.com, which is NENReview.com, and the phone number is right there.
Okay.
We are on Facebook at facebook.com/sisterspeakpodcast.
Yep.
And we're on Twitter at _SisterJ and _SisterK. And right. We would love to hear from you. Yep. And we've had a couple of new, likes on our Facebook page.
Yep.
And a lot of comments. Yep. So look for us to comment back to y'all.
Yeah.
This week. And thank you for listening.
Yep.
And giving us your feedback.
Yep.
That's it for now. I'm Sister K.
And I'm Sister J.
See you next time.